Say something, goddammit. You're on television. You're live to the whole world.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another movie podcast. My name is Oscar, and with me today, as always, is...
Luke?
That's not you.
Yeah, he missed it this time. But Luke, yes. And then who else?
Ralph.
That's right. That's right. You're always there. I'm kidding. I'm not going to
do that
much longer.
I knew that was my cue, but he cut it.
Yep. This is episode number 115. And today's episode are movies that Ralph has chosen. This is how we do it, guys. We just skip, you know, just take turns on the three movies you're going to be reviewing every week or every 2 weeks.
Way to let the secret out.
And no. What secret? How is this a secret? And those three movies are, do you want to announce them, Ralph? What are they?
Yeah, sure. It's Borat, subsequent film, On the Rocks, and Bad Hair.
I believe that's subsequent movie film.
My apologies, you're right.
Sorry. Is it one word, by the way, in the title?
Movie film, it is, yeah.
Oh, okay. I should fix that in the thing then, because I don't want to write it properly. Yeah, subsequent movie film, On the Rocks and Bad Hair. Awesome.
I mean, and I can read the whole thing, but it's
a little and they're all available at different services: Hulu, Prime, and Apple TV.
You're welcome.
That's good. That's some news award in here. All inclusive. This is all inclusive. You know what I'm saying? We're not pigeonholed. We're not Prime Horse like someone on the show. We're not like, you know, only on Netflix because that's the one, you know, database that has the most stuff. No, we're not. You know, we don't just pigeonhole ourselves. So that's what we'll be doing this week. And this is our first post. This is our technical, in a weird way, Halloween show. This is the first one after that. So we're still in the horror movie magic phase, as we'll see in a minute. But anyway, you can find this show and all of our shows at our website, which is otherpodcast.com. That's currently going under construction, but you won't notice any difference until I actually make it, finish it, and then post it. So for you guys, it'll be instantaneous. For me, though, it's every day working for an hour just to hone out the details. But otherpodcast.com is where you can find the show and all of our other previous shows. Check it out there. A lot of great stuff. A lot of marathons, countdowns, and what have you. We just love movies, guys. We are movie whores.
So are you making this? Are you making it better?
I am making it different, which could be better. Yeah, mainly like a bit stylistic choice and also layouts. I'm changing the layout on several pages.
Not all pages, just several?
Several. I would say I'm probably just adding to a couple as opposed to changing them out and out, and others I'm just changing completely. You know, so that's why I said several. It's not technically right if I say all of them. So anyway, that's besides the point. Now, Luke.
Yes.
How's your life been? What have you been up to?
A lot of cleaning, actually, lately.
Is this your phase?
No, it's, God, it was, a couple years back, I watched that minimalism documentary.
Yep.
And one of those guys, he came up with this thing called the minimalism game, where, you know, first day of the month, you throw out one thing, second day of the month, two things, third day, three things, so on and so forth, right? And it seems small, right? But at the end of the month, you're down like 400 some or 500 some items.
Yes.
So I did that a couple, like a year or two ago. I think I did it with Ralph for a month. Got a lot of the, you know, rinky-dink tchotchkes and all the things out of, you know. And then I did it again in September. Then I started another one in October. And then this, when I came back from a trip, I kind of felt like, man, you know, I finally got home for once. I was like, man, I don't feel like all this anxiety from having all this crap in my, like, you know, place.
What is the nature of that anxiety, may I ask?
I think it's just like stuff I probably won't even use, stuff I don't care for, you know. It's just stuff that I accumulated.
But what about it gives you anxiety? Is it just because it's, I guess, I don't know what I'm trying to ask.
It's just there to be there, to occupy space, and there's no real reason for it.
Do you feel claustrophobic?
Sometimes, yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, like I said, so I'm in the fourth month right now, so I'm making some deep cuts.
Yeah, I know. Really, I know you have, because you've been selling me Blu-rays.
Yes, I have. Well, to be fair, I've been buying Blu-rays, and because it's pretty much sometimes it's cheaper to get the Blu-ray with the digital copy
than it is like, to buy it.
I just bought Doctor Sleep today for $4. Yeah, that's how much it costs to rent. Yes, with a digital copy of the regular and the director's cut.
By the way, I would buy that for you for $3.
I'll add it to your pile.
Nice. Wow, sorry, coughing fit. That's awesome, though. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
I, you do this every periodically, every like once or twice.
Once in a while, yeah.
Yeah.
So it, yeah. It, but this is like, since I'm continuing on with it, I'm making like really deep cuts, like stuff I've like. I literally went to IKEA today to actually get a new record shelf because that's one thing I have more is records. But I had like a four drawer thing, like that I had just stuff in, and I just. Most of that went, like, I downsized it all.
Nice.
So, yeah, I'm, a lot of stuff's been tossed.
That is great. Aside
from my garbage, man.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Yeah. So, that's what Luke's been up to. Very efficient life work.
And?
Efficiency. Yes.
I made space in my entertainment center for next week with the PS5 and Xbox Series X coming out.
That got, one I've seen pictures
got of. Got room ready for that, so, you know, excited.
Mm-hmm. Me too, man. Me too. As everyone who's been listening to our show, and especially these intros, know that I will be in that space, a zone of the PS5 ownership. It's going to be amazing. Cannot wait to play it, use it. All right. Raph, how about you, man?
Hoarding. I've been hoarding everything.
That he's trying to get rid of?
Just go to his garbage can, hoard it.
Yeah.
Well, I throw my garbage Tuesdays into Wednesday nights. And just
right. Makes sense because they pick up Wednesday.
Yeah.
Works great for me.
All right, perfect.
So yeah. Don't come to your place.
Correct.
Got it.
It's just boxes and boxes and boxes. Empty, though. No, what have I been doing? Well, actually, I've been streaming more consistent, a little bit after work, at least an hour or two, on twitch.tv/Suchrama, if you want to look me up.
Sue, the Native American. S-I-O-U-X? Yes.
T-R-A-U-M.
Hey, yeah.
Yeah, nice. So I've been doing that. Mainly Call of Duty. I play some other games as well. Fixing audio issues. That was today. I got a new mic, but technically old. Hmm. New to me.
It's new to you, yeah.
Thank you, Luke. Using that. Currently using that. Let me see what else. That's about it. I haven't really been doing anything else. Just playing games. Watch more movies than normal. You'll be proud of me and the
recent discoveries. Yes. I already know. You told me in advance.
That's right.
Yeah. That sounds awesome.
Halloween was okay.
Just okay?
Yeah.
I go with that.
All right. No, it was a fun party you had. I saw some stuff I didn't care to see again, but hey.
Are you talking about the movies I put in that's meant for background?
Imprint, yes.
Imprint. Yeah, I mean, if you, I'm not going to just put... Lexi was trying to convince me to just put, like, staple movies like Halloween, Jason, the Exorcist, you know, things like that. I'm like, everyone has seen them. No. I need to put on crazy shit. I need to put on something that...
Right. Memorable. Although, you did get my attention with that one Korean movie.
I Saw the Devil.
Yes.
That's a really good movie.
It is.
Very much
really
so.
Good. It's you never seen it before?
No, I have not.
Oh, fuck. You should come over. Off air, I was asking you, Luke. I never got to actually ask you. See if when you want to come over, possibly, to do this Mission Impossible thing. Ralph and I kind of started. It's not official or anything. But Mission Impossible 2 is next. And I figure you'd want to be in on that.
Oh, that's the best one.
So, you know, and along the way, I can either let you borrow the copy of it or we can watch it here.
Of Mission Impossible 2?
No, I Saw the Devil. No, I Saw the Devil. Because that's a very good, very good serial killer movie.
Well, I know how it ends,
yeah.
But it's okay.
Yeah, I guess you do. I guess, yeah, but still, it's fun to get there. It's a fun ride. Literally in the taxi. All right. So, that's awesome, Raph. I'm glad that you are hosting. I've been not urging you immensely, but I love that you do it. You should definitely get more in the habit. It's great. I haven't seen it yet, mainly because you play games that I have no interest in.
So?
But doesn't mean that I won't. It just means that send me a link and I will do it.
I'll say it one more time.
Yeah, Twitch. Yeah, that's Twitch. That was my cue.
Twitch.tv/ Suchrama.
Mm-hmm. Psyox?
No.
Suke. It's rare that you guys get to plug something. I sometimes plug here and there other things I do, but you guys
never plug it away under the
plug. Wow, The Crow, guys. The Crow, 1990 something. All right. What I've been up to is not very much awesome either. Just anticipating this PS5 thing, and also I've been something else. I don't know, I won't explain to that yet. But I don't know, just a few little milestones going on here. Like had my first party. At my first party hosting gig, officially, so to speak, as Roth alluded to, the Halloween party, which I thought was fun. I had a lot of fun with that. I still have some. No, I just finished the leftovers yesterday, I think.
Oh, the cookies that you were going to chuck at Animal because they were super burnt?
Well, no, that was just a good comeback. No, I ate some of the cookies along the way here and there, like one a day, but I can't eat that many cookies, honestly, in one sitting. So it's still some left. No big deal. But yeah, other than that, it's been like a little milestone. For example, is like I mentioned some other show ago. We got our second Shiva glider to be friends with the ones we have, we had to cut their nails, man. I don't know if you guys have seen my arms, but they're all cut up. They're pretty cut up right now still because it's still healing and they're like scabbed over. Not that it like hurts massively, but it just looks.
How hard was that?
It's hard to cut their nails, man. It's hard because obviously they move around a lot. We have to like quiet them down and hold them down, make sure they don't see it so they don't like get fear and then do it. And it took about an hour per glider, so that was something that happened, and we did it with the new one, and she was very good though. She didn't like twitch immensely or anything, but we were worried, of course.
Your sugar gliders are really cute though.
Really cute. Yes, they're really cute. They loved you. They loved Lily.
Yeah, the one was always on me nonstop.
Yep. Lily loved your coat or your scent or your something. Loved something about you. Maybe she loves ghosts and appreciated your outfit that much. So that's what we've been up to, and we're going to get into some recent discoveries, which Luke is going to begin with what?
Finally, I saw Knives Out.
Oh, right.
The Rian Johnson flick.
Wow. Right. A little late to that game.
I know, but I think someone spoiled it for me.
Oh, shit, really?
But I totally forgot it. And that was the best part. I had no idea who did it at the end, So it was great. I loved it. I had no idea what I was going into, aside from, everyone just praised this movie, like, religiously. Because, they all hated Rian Johnson because of the Star Wars thing. But, yeah, they loved this movie.
Right. Yeah. You're right, though. Everyone did him. A lot of people did hate him for that movie. Right. But I'm glad you finally saw it.
I'm glad. The cast is amazing. How you got all those amazing actors in there. Oh.
Yeah, man. I agree. And what's the other one? This is another one that I was like, how have you not seen this movie?
Yeah, the other one is the one I actually just bought today. Dr. Sleep. I wanted to watch it, and I was going to rent it, and then literally I was going to rent it last night to watch today, and then I got like a Twitter thing, that it's $4 at Amazon and Target. So I went to pick it up at Target.
So a great sale.
I watched the 3-hour director's cut of Dr. Sleep today.
You saw it, wait, you said it again?
There's two versions, the regular theatrical and the director's cut that came in the box. So I watched the director's cut,
And how much out of time was it for?
I think it's 3 hours, and I think the regular one is like 220, 230 maybe.
Wow. That's a good chunk.
I can't compare what's new since it was all new to me, but yeah, it was really good.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. The next thing I would watch that documentary, Room 237.
I definitely want to see that too. Yeah, that was a good documentary. Yeah. I saw it again recently. I don't remember for what, but I saw it again. That's awesome too. These were big movies when they came out last year. It's not like super old movies that you should have seen a long time ago, but still, like, they were huge movies at the time. I'm surprised you didn't miss them. But those was during the Alaska phase. Yeah, I hear you. So that's what Luke's been watching. How about you, Roth?
I've been watching more than Luke.
Damn.
Oh, for Anyways. Once.
Yeah, I'm a busy guy. Anyways, I saw this movie that I may have gotten from Luke. Superman, Red Sun. This is the one where he's technically lands in Russia instead of
right.
America.
Yep.
And then
right.
he gets raised with Russian ideals.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like what if scenario. It's cool, but they also treat like Superman should still be great. And I felt like they did a good job of like, you know, still going dark and like obviously how his ideals change and everything because he's how the way he's raised.
Are you saying they pull punches on the idea?
No, it's more like they at the very end they like they want to do a nice wash of things. So yeah.
Sounds like the same thing, but okay. I guess I have to see it.
You would have to see it.
Yeah, okay.
It's okay though. I've seen better ones of the DC brand, to be brutally honest with you.
Yeah, but it's also a high bar because they made some pretty good ones.
They have, yeah. This is the animated stuff, so the animated has always done really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's Superman Red Son. The other movie I saw is an older movie, but it's the first time. It's The Haunted Mansion. Has anyone seen this one?
No, missed out on this one.
Luke?
Is that the Eddie Murphy one?
Yes.
I hear someone snuck.
Okay, yeah.
I know, bro.
I'm sorry.
It's ungodly.
Sounds like an animal. I don't know.
Jesus.
No, yeah, I really thought it was like some. Is that a machine or like a, I don't know, like a notification that's meant to be something funny or I don't know what it was. Sorry. What about Haunted Mansion?
Haunted Mansion, yeah. So this one is. Eddie Murphy, right, and it's he's a realtor. Him and his wife are realtors, and they try to sell a house.
For real?
For real, yes. and at this mansion, obviously, who's like abandoned, or not abandoned, but haunted, which you find out later.
Do people live
here? Yeah, and essentially, it's like, it's a kind of tropey ghost movie-ish. Like, I mean, it's old enough to just ruin it, and I think you guys don't care. So, essentially, the wife is like the exact image of the lady of the house who used to live there many decades ago or centuries, whatever,
mm-hmm.
and with a mutual ship. And what's it called?
My super secret work phone.
Yes, super secret. She's
the president needs me.
Shut up. They're trying to like get her to like. Marry this one guy to end the curse there. And then Eddie Murphy's trying to stop it with his kids. That's essentially the story. And it's cool. Yeah. Like, it looks cool. The mansion looks great. And a lot of the stuff looks really good, actually, for 2003. Other stuff looks very tacky. But the set designs are pretty good.
I mean, you shouldn't call Eddie Murphy tacky.
But
I know you didn't. I'm just messing
with
you.
Wow, I never said that. But besides that, the movie's is good. There's nothing great about it. And it's not bad either. So, but that's about it.
And this is like a PG or G?
I think it was. Is it a G? Because that's when he was like making shit for that he PG. Wanted his kids.
PG.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. Yeah, he was making a lot of like.
Yeah, he was.
Like
I mean,
daddy daycare and shit. Like
I hear this is one of like the rides or attractions at Disneyland that they mm-hmm. never get rid of.
Huh.
So this just like looks that good.
I mean, don't they still have the Pirates of the Caribbean? Or did they
Yar! I don't know.
I mean,
maybe World,
one.
But not like Land.
One. Yeah, World, there's enough space because it's Florida, right?
Real right. Deep. Just to keep California destroying, you know, swamps.
I don't know the difference.
Yeah.
Well, there is one.
Crazy cast, though. Eddie Murphy, obviously.
Edward Murphy.
Terrence Stamp. Wallace Shawn.
Awesome.
Really big
Jennifer Tilly.
Really big shoe.
Jennifer Tilly. Wow. Yeah. From Chucky.
Tilly?
Right, exactly. there's other people. Anyways, that's a Haunted Mansion.
Right.
I'll skip. The next movie, sticking to horror theme, and obviously kid, I saw Paranorman.
I've yet to see that.
Yeah, that's... I'll read the description of this one. A misunderstood boy takes on ghosts, zombies, and grown-ups to save his town from a centuries-old curse.
It's coming back. I know I've seen it before.
I can't tell if this is claymation.
It's the same guys that did like Kubo and the Two Strings. And,
maybe it is.
Yes. I think it is.
Yeah, it's nice. It's a good movie. I feel it's a little long, but maybe the movie just felt that way. But I don't know. It took me 2 sittings to watch this one, mainly because I was just that tired. It wasn't that I wasn't interested. I was just that tired. Mm-hmm. But it's a cool movie, like about loneliness and stuff like that, about the outcast of being this kid, you know, like no one liking you and stuff like that.
Right.
And then, but having to be this guy who obviously has to like save the town and shit like that. And even then not being liked. So
I think I own it. I've yet to watch it though.
it's a cool story overall, the thing that it has to do. And then, overall the movie, like, I don't know, it looks good. It still looks good now. And came out in 2012.
Yes. I remember it was a big deal. Kind of a big deal, at least in my circle of friends, because of the, you know, the makers being who they are.
For a PG movie, no lie, it is like kind of adulty, theme-wise.
Mm-hmm.
It's talking about a lot of stuff that a lot of people complain about now. So.
Yeah, I mean, also, like, you know, it's been true about their other movies, kind of, also.
So. Yeah.
I mean, Kubo and the Two Strings had some heavy ass.
I would agree.
Themes, you know, for kids.
I think all their movies are kind of.
Yeah, yeah, I would say so.
Coraline,
yeah.
She can give you fucking nightmares.
Yeah. Right.
Still gives you nightmares. Right. You know? Yeah. But Coraline's like fucking the best. All right, what's the other one?
Cool. My last one is going to come in with you. Mm-hmm. And it's a movie that is in theaters right now. It's called Come Play. This is
for those who forgot, what's a theater?
Oh, so it's this old timey thing. The 50 cents AC all day, 100%.
And you get newsreels and cartoon reels.
Right. You get to find out how the war, what's going on in the war.
Well, wait, how the war update. Right.
Right. Right. Get some cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Is that good enough description?
I think so. Success. Okay. What's this movie about?
Perfect. This is a monster named Larry. Manifests itself through smartphones and mobile devices. That's basically it. And it's a feature film of a short film, I guess.
Oh, it came from a short film idea or something?
I think so, yeah.
Kind of like that. What's that guy that started in YouTube?
Sure.
He did Lights Out. Remember Lights Out, guys?
Do I?
I mean, I saw it in theaters. I don't know if I saw it with anyone, but
Lights Out.
Lights Out, it's based on that short that was made all the rounds on YouTube. Everyone loved it. It was so good. That guy became the director of that movie, and then he directed Shazam, which is interesting.
Shazam.
Oh, I remember Lights Out. Mm-hmm. I think I did see it.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
Anyways, this is directed and written by Jacob Chase, and it's got Jillian Jacobs, John Gallagher Jr. Sorry.
Yeah, it's Gillian Jacobs, by the way, just so you know.
I know, but it sounds cooler.
If you say so.
And then the kids, Azzy, or I'm assuming it's Azzy, Robertson.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll leave it at that. Those are the main three.
Yeah. So what did you think of this movie?
I thought it was kind of cool, actually. I mean, I thought it was a cool theme. I didn't think they were going to go through with what they went through with Larry, the creature.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was... I'm glad they kind of like pushed forward toward to it. I felt like budget restraints were going to hold them back from even like seeing it or using the creature at all. But no, they went for it.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I overall agree. I think the movie has a good tone throughout. A good sense of the, I think it has a good enough, not like an awesome, but it has a good enough like a way to tell, by showing, obviously not telling, by showing you how the rules of this monster work, or how, like, you know, how, like, what would get him to come fully through, what would get him to, like, back off, like, how do you sense him? All these things are kind of shown really well throughout the movie, and you understand the rules of the horror in the movie really well. And I dug it for that. I had the complaint of the core emotional beats,
mm-hmm,
that the movie required to justify, you know, Larry, or justify the drama at the house.
I agree with you.
I didn't really buy it.
Yeah,
it sounded kind of dumb, actually. When you
think I agree with it. You, but at the same time, I mean, if I touch the Annabelle doll, I'm cursed? I don't know.
So. Yeah, no, right, but that's that movie.
Right.
Yeah. Right, and then, yeah, so that was my biggest shortcoming for the movie, but otherwise, I thought it was a very cool movie, stylized and well-made. I think the kid wasn't too annoying, thankfully, for an actor, I mean, as an acting point of view. And Gillian Jacobs is always good, I think. I don't think it's her best performance by any means, because I think her drama, dramedy, comedy combos are been way better. If you're interested in who she is and what she's done, Community, the show Community, and the show Love on Netflix, very, very good performances there.
Oh, yeah, I was a huge fan of Love.
Yeah, Love is great. Very toxic.
That oh, my God. Amazingly so toxic.
I would say devastatingly toxic, but yes, it is also entertaining to watch. What an asshole. All of them. Whatever. Anyway. But yeah, I liked it. Anything else you want to say on this movie? Come play?
I mean, no. I like the use of technology. Technology. Sorry. Eating my words.
English yeah, that's right.
English is hard.
Sometimes. Yeah. At times, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I do like the use of technology in this movie.
Yeah, it's very one missed call, ghost in the machine kind of feel.
Yeah, it is. But it doesn't feel forced. It just feels like normal.
Yeah, especially when we see a documentary like The Social Dilemma. Like, yeah, this is one way it could fuck with us. Just give us a demon and shit or something.
100%.
Right? On top of everything else. All right. Going on to me here, I'm gonna go through fast on some of these.
Please
two
do.
Of them, two of them in particular, because I did not really appreciate them. I'm not even going to go through the description, honestly, so much. But I saw a movie, saw a bunch of horror movies also, including Come Play. Yep. One of them is called Are We Not Cats? Are We Not Cats? I don't know if there's a question mark at the end of that title. I don't think so. It's an independent horror movie on Shudder.com, if you're interested. A lot of people appreciate this movie. A lot of people love it for being weird, kind of out there, kind of like a body horror movie. And I didn't get it. And by I didn't get it, I mean like I didn't even feel anything except boredom in this movie. I just didn't buy any of the motivation of anything.
What if that was the point? Because cats are pretty fucking boring.
Yeah. Well, you know, all animals, if you stare long enough, are kind of boring.
I actually started watching this movie like a year ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I didn't like it. And I saw like 30 minutes of it.
Also, it takes like 45 minutes to get like started.
So I let my wife pick a movie and she was like, oh, let's pick this one. 10 minutes in, she was like, what the fuck did I pick?
Your first mistake, letting her pick.
Well, I was being nice.
Well, the thing is that the way people talk about it, though, and then try your thing.
I 100% agree with you. Do not feel anything for this movie.
Yeah. I didn't care about the guy. Like, I don't care what lost. Like, he's a loser. Gets dumped or something. And I didn't feel sympathy a lot for him. I did a little bit, I guess, later on. But anyway, it's a body horror movie where a lot of, like, skin, hair, kind of, like, fibers, the nature of changing your body kind of horror, you know, which can be fun. There's some really good stuff out there that do that. An extreme version of that, for example, will be The Thing. You know, bodies changing, morphing, all this shit coming out. You know, it's kind of like that. This isn't that extreme, but it's still freaky in that way. And some scenes were kind of nice that way, in that horror movie way, magic. But overall, no. I was not sold on this movie, despite all the high ratings on it that everyone seems to enjoy it. So maybe it's for you out there listening, but not for me. Are We Not Cats? We're not. The next movie here is... shut up. Is not a horror movie. It stars Jessica Chastain. It's not available to rent or buy, I think, on VOD. It's called Ava. She plays an assassin, a hired CIA operative or something like that. And the movie's it's just her being a badass. She's taking the Charlize Theron role in that sense, like of playing against her usual type and doing some badass stuff. You know, you think of that, you think of Anna or Red Sparrow. Think of like that, you know. Kind of like that. Just different, of course, because, you know, they do different things. But they still kill people. They're still badasses. And the movie has, like, I think pretty good actors. And I think Jessica Chastain is pretty good in the movie. Not, like, amazing, but pretty good. And I think the movie, while it does have some good action, not amazing, good action and some good plotting, actually, because it kind of involves her family and her personal thing, which they all do, of course, all assassin movies, but she's not nameless. You know, she has a history. She has things to get over, like what sent her to train for this kind of job. You know, what sent her? You know, you think of these ideas, right, for assassins. The movie kind of tries to answer those kind of questions and bring it to a close in this, you know, tidy way or whatever, and see what kind of decisions she'll make and stuff. But ultimately, I felt like it was nothing really that special about it. So I found myself kind of like just saying it was okay at the end of it, even though, like I said, had some pretty good stuff in it throughout, but not like consistently. So that's Ava, my quick little thing on there. And last two movies here, these are horror movies, and these are way better. One is called Scare Me, which is technically a 2020 movie. Just came out, I think, a few months ago. It's on Shudder as well, Shudder.com. And Scare Me, the plot synopsis is, during a power outage, two strangers tell scary stories. The more Fred and Fanny commit to their tales, the more the stories come to life in their Catskills cabin. The horrors of reality manifest when Fred confronts his ultimate fear. I did not know that that would do that. And the main, the guy who plays Fred, Josh Rubin, is also the writer and director of the movie. And it also stars Aya Cash. Or Aya, maybe? Aya Cash. And this is a good movie. It's a movie about storytelling. And I really like movies about storytelling. Because, they're kind of fun because they're kind of meta in their nature. But these two guys, I mean, this boy, girl, they're in this cabin. They're both writers in the movie. They're both horror writers, too, or trying to be. One is more successful than the other. And they try to, like, freak each other out by telling themselves, like, ghost stories or horror stories. And the details and the way they can get out of hand with their details and trying to, like, tell it and theatrically, like, motioning themselves. And then the movie helps them by adding in the sound effects and sometimes a little flares of, images to help you sell the story, to help, like, to show, like, this is when they're focused on the story. This is when that person listening to the story is believing it and getting freaked out. And that's when you see or hear something. And it's just about the nature of storytelling in many ways. It's also, like, has a cool ending, I think, that twists on that. And even a post-credit thing is kind of fun. So I enjoyed it all the whole way. It was really a lot of fun to watch. Scare Me on Shudder. And the last movie is a really bizarre movie. It's called Color Out of Space. Have you guys heard of it?
No, Oscar, we rarely ever hear of any of the movies you come up with.
Whatever, yeah. Luke said.
You can literally be making up movie titles and synopsis, and we'd be like, okay, yeah, so we believe you watch this.
I should do that one day.
I IMDb probably could. Movies. No, I IMDb them.
I do that sometimes.
Yeah. You IMDb them as I speak about them?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, that's great. I mean, I guess I can't. Then I can't lie.
I mean, you could pull one on Luke.
You won't say anything throughout? Like, if I mention a title and you Google it and you're like, I don't find it, you won't say anything throughout my...
I won't say shit. That's awesome. And then I'll be like, that was bullshit.
I'm going to try that one day. All right. Color Out of Space, real movie, came out last year. A secluded farm is struck by a strange meteorite, which has apocalyptic consequences for the family living there and possibly the world. It's a horror movie for sure, kind of sci-fi too. This is based on a story by H.P. Lovecraft, written and directed by Richard Stanley. And his stars are, you know, beloved Nicolas Cage. And also Jolie Richardson, Madeline Arthur, and Elliot Knight. This is a very, very fucking good movie. I did not expect it to be this good. The director of this movie is kind of known for The Island of Dr. Moreau, the remake with Val Kilmer, which I heard was awful and all this stuff. And he's made a bunch of movies since, of course, a lot of shorts and whatever. And I've never heard or seen him. You know, this is my first one, really, technically, other than that movie. But Color Out of Space takes the nature of H.P. Lovecraft and kind of really makes it into like a visual reality. And it has like tones of like Mandy. Remember Mandy, guys? Did we review it on the show? I don't remember. With Nicolas Cage.
Mandy? No.
Nicolas Cage movie Mandy. It's a revenge movie.
No.
Okay. Fuck. I definitely saw it. But we never reviewed it, huh?
No, we never reviewed it.
Okay. Well, it kind of has like the color scheme of Mandy, and also like it's not exactly okay. It's not exactly, but because that movie feels like a drug acid trip. This one doesn't feel that way. But it does have the same like flares to it, and a great use of purple and pink also, and is weird and so majestically gruesome It also gets that gruesome. It gets levels of The Thing in here. I know I mentioned The Thing earlier, but it gets to those levels of horror in as The Thing. And I highly recommend it for all horror movie fans out there. And Nicolas Cage, of course, casted beautifully. People know how to cast them nowadays, at least other people do. And they cast him beautifully because you want him to go over the top when he's fucking frustrated in that car. You know what I'm saying? You want him to do that at the right time and use him just right. He plays like the father figure who's very normal in the beginning. And as you can imagine, goes off the fucking rails. But not as crazy or like laugh out loud crazy like in Mom and Dad or any of those other movies you know him for. But it does get appropriately crazy. So I recommend it. Everyone watch it. Color Out of Space. I don't know where you can find it. I know you can rent it or buy helpful. It, but rent it or buy it like a VOD. Right. Besides that, it's not streaming anywhere that I saw. But I have a copy for you guys if you guys want. Anyway, so that's what I've been watching. That's our recent discoveries. Yes, right. And then when we come back, we're going to be reviewing our first movie, a comedy, if you will. Oh. What's that called, Ralph?
Borat.
I thought we were going to discuss Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp.
Yeah, he got the boot from the Fantastic Beasts franchise, didn't you hear?
Wait, what are you talking about? What the hell is going on?
Who's
going
to replace Johnny Depp in the Fantastic Beasts franchise?
Are you saying Borat is?
No, who will?
I don't understand why you're asking me right now, is my question.
Just throwing you a curveball.
Hating is too low of a word.
About 10 years ago, I released a movie film which brought great shame to Kazakhstan. But now I was instructed to return to Yankee Land to carry out secret mission.
I go to America!
What do you say, Rest? No, it's not me.
People make recognize my face. I would need disguises.
This man is sex criminal?
No, no sex criminal.
I will take this to be a fat like American man.
Yeah, this is a good one. Where is his crumb?
What is problem, officer?
Got somebody that's strapped to the top of your car. He's in that passenger seat, boss.
Only men and bears are allowed inside car.
Follow-up film to the 2006 comedy centering on the real-life adventures of a fictional Kazakh television journalist named Borat.
Oh, man, you're so loud.
Isn't it?
You're so loud. I'm going to have to lower this.
What's the whole movie title?
Which one? The movie's called Borat Subsequent Movie Film.
Right.
The original title.
Yeah, let's hear that one.
Okay. Is Borat subsequent movie film Delivery of Prodigious Bribe to American Regime for Make Benefit Once Glorious Nation of Kazakhstan.
Thank you so much for that.
You're welcome.
Well, even the first movie had a long-ass title technically, right? But people just called it Borat. Right?
Correct. Yes. Right. This is directed by Jason Wallner, whatever. Written by a shit ton of people, but Sacha Baron Cohen does write his own stuff. And Anthony Hines, I think there's 11 more credits. I'm not going to read everybody. Also, this is starring Sacha Baron Cohen, Maria Bakalova. Bakalova. Man. Autumn Shank is in this movie. Tom Hanks. That's Tom Hanks.
Yes, I think people know by now. This is the first time you're listening to us, in which case, I'm sorry.
Yeah. A bunch of other random people. And let's go with that.
Including Rudy Giuliani.
Right. Including Rudy Giuliani. Besides
you're
that.
You're running the show.
I am running the show. Sorry, I just got a message and I was reading it out loud in my head. That being said, this is Borat. So we're going to start with Luke because I have a feeling Luke has the most. There you go. See? Luke, what did you think of this movie? Don't forget, wear a mask, save a life.
Right. I thought it was very telling of kind of the United States in 2020. And obviously, I think that's kind of his thing is, you know, go out and be play these characters and let people be themselves in front of this character, you know? So when, you know, you have issues of things like he's had a plastic surgery and he talks about like, oh, Juno's is like, it's this big. And you know, the plastic surgeon, he's laughing at it because, you know, he probably makes the same types of jokes. Or, you know, he spends time with like some, you know, like a right wing guys, and you know, they're like, oh yeah, Corona's a hoax, it's just Democrats, you know.
Right.
So he enables people to let their guard down, and where he can say all these like horrible fucking things, and people are just gonna react to it like, oh yeah, yeah, I totally get it. Like, no one challenges him really, at least the way it's edited.
Yeah, I think the right, exactly, the way it's edited. Yeah, I would agree with you. I think Sacha Baron Cohen does a really good job of making people feel comfortable in an uncomfortable situation, comfortable to talk anyways about something. Like, he makes himself look so ridiculous that normally you, even if you were like that person to begin with and being comfortable in saying what he's like, the kind of things that he says, which is kind of like outrageous and outlandish, he does, like, since he looks ridiculous doing it, you don't feel that uncomfortable to kind of continue the subject matter. And either agreeing or disagreeing with him, but in a funnier way than maybe you would be, just because of how ridiculous of the nature he is. So yeah, that's a good, that's a pretty good thing. Luke, good job. Oscar?
Well, the whole time during the movie and before it, and I guess after, I asked myself the question, but I feel like I had the answer in my head. Is can this movie, you know, can this movie strike lightning twice? Or strike the same place twice? Whatever the fucking saying goes. Can it bottle lightning twice? Whatever. Can it be as good as the first one? Now, what I mean as good is that that revolutionary. That was like a one-of-a-kind movie. The original Borat. It's a one-of-a-kind movie. It's very nearly a documentary. And it's not. It's not at all. Because heavily edited, a fake character. There's a lot of script writing to it, even though a lot of it is improvisational or like in your face, like you said, whatever, you know, natural reactions from real life people, some of them real life celebrities, some others are clearly like, you know, scripted to that scene or whatever. You can't even tell the difference sometimes, you know. It's kind of, it's a bizarre movie. It's a blend of a movie. And I was thinking if it could achieve it twice, to similar impacts, and I'm gonna answer. My answer is no. And I was thinking about like why I didn't like fall for it as much as I did the first one. And I was thinking about it, and I was like, well, the answer is because I never rewatched the first one.
Oh, okay.
I think I've seen it once, maybe twice, It was in background TV shows. I mean, it was on people's television screens and or whatever all the time. So maybe I've seen it like once and then a second time in pieces, totaling a second time, you know. And I just never, and it's like it lives only in the year it comes out. It has a shelf life about a 1 year. It immediately, you know, like dries out and expires. Now, obviously, people could say like, no way, because it still talks about very similar things, about like all these things that are true today still, and true of humanity still, or true of America's problems, right? Or America's successes and influences and things like that, right? And you could say the same thing for this movie. I know it. I know you guys, everyone can say the same thing, but it still feels like it really expires. The minute after I see it, it's done. And I'm glad they added the COVID stuff in this movie. I didn't think they would. But I'm glad they did all that stuff. And I think the work they're doing is still very funny. And I'm pretty cool to think about. And this is one of those also kind of a stealthy movies that you can see. Like, there's going to be a few. There's got to be some out there who see this movie and don't believe that Borat's making fun of them. And take it as, you know, something to take down the liberals, so to speak, or something to feel the opposite of what Sacha Baron Cohen actually believes in. You can see it in a heartbeat. This is one of those kind of movies, like Fight Club. There are people out there that take Fight Club pretty literally. And the people who've seen that movie or understand that movie or that book or whatever will easily see that it's not making fun of you. I mean, it's not about making fun of anyone, but it's about showing the toxic of that masculinity, right? And it's really anti all the stuff it's showing you. It's showing you ridiculous things on purpose. I think Borat kind of fits in that wheelhouse. And so for that, I like the movie. And I overall do enjoy the movie. That's what I'm trying to say. I do enjoy the movie. However, I don't believe it had the same impact the first time around, which makes it, I guess, a lesser sequel. But it's hard to make a good sequel like that.
Right.
You know, it's just hard in general.
I still remember when this movie first came out on DVD, it was made to look like it was a bootleg. And my buddy rented it from Best Buy. He's like, "Yeah, they gave me a fucking bootleg copy of the movie." And I'm like, "No, that's the joke, dude.
No, that's right. That's part of the genuineness of it. Like, oh, it just looks so tacky, bad. Right. It looks like 10 years behind on the curve. Yeah, that's all part of it.
It was great though.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Rob? What do you think of this?
What do I think of this movie? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I didn't like it as much as the first one, of course, but I thought it still did a good job of like bringing up with like kind of what Luke said, like kind of today's environment for the United States and how they, a lot of the mentality in the United States anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they brought up a lot of like a lot of stuff was funny. Like he does a good job of like that itself of kind of like the ridiculousness of it. Very Curb Your Enthusiasm-esque of like putting himself in situations. Just the difference is this is like, it's not for, it is both for comedy, but it's just like one is like literally just for comedy. And this was like a parody of that, which is weird, but
yeah.
And then, I do feel like the movie does change pace, and obviously it's like for the coronavirus kind of stuff. And I think the movie did a good job, but I also do agree with you as in like, it almost does fit this like year. And I just feel like if I watch it 5 years from now, I won't feel the same way mm-hmm. that I did watching it the year it was supposed to come out. Which sucks because I would want to, but I just don't feel like I would. I feel like it'd be like, wow, that feels dated. And it'll date like so much more faster. But at the same time, it also speaks about kind of like almost like a time capsule, if you think about it, where that's how the pulse was during those times, mm-hmm. you know? So it's kind of cool for that reason alone. Also, I think Sacha Baron Cohen is doing a lot of crazy stuff and a lot of good stuff just to kind of like bring up. And the fact that, yeah, like you said, I wouldn't be surprised if people aren't, you know, still take it serious that he's like not just making fun of everybody. But yeah. Yeah, I overall came out positive. I don't think I laughed as out loud as I did in the first one, but I did appreciate this one more. And I wouldn't be opposed to watching the first one again and see where I fit, see how I feel about it. But I do remember seeing it at least twice. But it was all in the same year, so you know, it's like, I don't know, so it's like it almost feels like it's been so long that I don't know if it'll be the same, you know, or not the same, but like at least similar, because nothing's the same as the first viewing or second viewing or whatever, mm-hmm. especially if it's that same year. So
yeah, I think the best way maybe I would describe this movie to someone is that this movie, Borat's subsequent movie film, is it's timely but it's not timeless. Like it works one way only, extremely than the other. And it also works with the nature of like, it's just kind of meant for just Americans almost, you know, like, I think the only way this movie could be seen positively or like, you know, in some sort of regard in 5 years down the line is if everything from now on to those 5 years, like life gets way better, you know, or noticeably better.
We do have an election coming.
Right, right, but
they're still fucking counting.
Yeah, still fucking, Jesus Christ, yeah, right now as we're sitting here, we have no idea who's winning what. Well, I mean, we feel like we do, but not sure yet. Anyway, if things go better, like people will watch this movie looking back like, damn, that was a fucked up year, like in that positive way. I can see that happening, but, you know, I think also what you were saying, Ruff, about not finding it as funny as back then. Me too. I think all of us might agree with that. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because we're not as young. And, you know, something about there's a childish nature to the comedy.
Yeah, there is. But I mean, you know, I still laugh at fart jokes. So like, I don't know.
I mean, I definitely don't laugh as much or at all to them.
Really? Wow.
I would say I'm not saying like I'm this great savant about comedy, but I definitely have evolved like past the Boondock Saints angle of things, you know, that, you know, that senselessness, the ridiculousness, the just reaction of reaction's sake. You know, I think I have, you know, and I don't find it as amusing anymore. I definitely thought of that. Yeah. I mean, I am assuming that's the reason for me, but maybe for others is maybe just because it's a sequel and it's not the original. It's not the same lightning, right? So who knows? Would you guys like to get into spoilers so we can talk about some of our favorite things and the plot points if you guys want to talk about
that? Yeah, I think we should.
Okay. So spoilers for Borat, subsequent movie film, starting right now.
I'm here to give my daughter as a gift to someone close to the throne.
I need a dress with real sexy peels.
This is a bag that just goes over the dress.
They're nice.
I really like this.
Let us present Sandra Jessica Parker Drummond.
I want this one with the baby on it. I have a baby inside me.
Can you take it out? No, we cannot. That's not what we do here.
I feel bad because I was the one who put the baby in her.
Did you ever put one in your daughter?
No, I did not.
Where is everybody?
They're wanting everybody to quarantine so they don't spread this virus.
Could I stay in your home?
I hope quarantine never ends. Everybody dance now.
What is more dangerous, this virus or the Democrat?
Democrats.
What's there to say about spoilers in the movie besides the plot, right? There's nothing else.
Yeah, there isn't much.
I mean, all I said was the fact that, I mean, I guess spoiling the whole movie act by act would be the plot is to fix Kazakhstan's relationship with America so they get Borat out of the gulag to go, because he was in there from the last movie, for making them look bad.
And being really famous about it.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, he's supposed to give Johnny the Monkey away to Pence, and when he gets Johnny the Monkey, Johnny the Monkey is dead, and his daughter ate him. And
no, he ate himself.
Sure, you can do that one too. And then what else? So then they try to give the daughter, but the daughter needs to be Americanized or as American as possible, but sort of. So they hit up a bunch of different people. To fit, like, as an American girl. And that's essentially what becomes the new plot of the movie. But obviously, Pence doesn't get all rejected. So then they do Giuliani, which is the next person that's, I guess, more reasonable for Borat to do.
Right.
This is someone in Trump's office, I guess. That's what the whole purpose of it, right?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, and then along the way, it's basically you find out the daughter's kind of learning to, you know, Kazakhstan's way is not the way of, you know, where women are completely second, you know, class citizens.
Second class, yeah.
Yeah, and stuff like that. And, you know, in America, you find out that they're free to do anything they want, just as free as everybody else is. And stuff like that. So it's like there are trials and tribulation of that. And obviously, it ends with her basically giving herself up to Rudy Giuliani in a weird, almost awkward sex scene. But yeah, and we'll get to that as we go. I mean, but like I said, literally, that's just like the plot of the movie. That's what happens in the movie. So yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, there are people.
I mean, I love the beginning when we're introduced to her as well. She's like in a barn in a cage, and he goes, "I have a non-male son."
Yeah, there's a lot of those one-liners. Like taboo amazing. One-liners.
Right.
Everything's really taboo. Like, you can't say that. Like, in our sense, like, we cannot say that. We cannot say that about women or Jews or anything like that.
Right.
Well, you know.
Unless you want to be, like, shunned by society.
Right. And that's the, I think that's why the movies, I think, are, I mean, I assume this one's big, right? It's a big movie.
I sure. think it's number one on IMDb still.
Yeah, so it must be. I mean, I can't imagine why it wouldn't be big. And I think that's why it's big, is because he's saying all these, it's all about what's being said. You know, you think of the period dance or whatever.
No, that was shit. That was crazy.
That was crazy, yeah. I mean, maybe that's more ridiculous than it is, like, taboo. But it's all these things that he says that, you know, that's not okay to say in society today. And that, you know, his nature of his negligence, right? Ignorance to, I don't know, values maybe, or ignorance to the modern world, ignorance to, I don't know, things like that, right? Is what makes him kind of, you know, like people relate to him, even though he's if you put his mentality into any other kind of character, that guy's a villain, right? That guy's evil. But no one thinks of Borat as evil, right? But he kind of is a little, right? You don't need some American lesson to not treat your daughter that way. But the movie never makes it that serious to think about it. So, like, I don't know. It's really weird. But this is a mother-daughter, this is a father-daughter movie, ultimately. I mean, would you guys agree with that?
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, that's the whole thing, the whole family aspect and whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Now, did the movie overstay its welcome, I guess is my question.
I feel like at one point it did. A little bit, like in certain areas, I felt like it was just like, oh, okay, we're still going on with this. Okay. And then I do really like the big ending, the big finale of like when they get back to Kazakhstan and everything. That's probably like kind of like does a really good job. The movie does a really good job with that, giving you like those context clues, very Usual Suspects.
Yeah, yeah, it is kind of like that.
His nature, which is, I mean, should I just
what a twist. Yeah.
Right? I can just say the twist now?
Yeah.
Which is basically like, Borat was always meant to fail, right? And he was just meant to go around as get as close to those people so he can spread the coronavirus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They weren't gypsy tears.
They weren't gypsy tears, that's right. That he got injected with. He got injected with the coronavirus. And there was context clues all over the place. So there's a bat. There's a bunch of shit around there. It was fun. It was funny. And very timely. I think the movie did a good job like with that aspect. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, it's so well done, you know, like, it was just really funny how it worked out. So yeah, that's like the big end all. It was good.
Yeah. No, I agree. I like how they made it. They tied it to Corona, the thing that's making us lock down and probably watch this movie at home. You know, which is kind of a meta approach to it. Very, very, very clever. It's very clever for a movie about ridiculous, stupid shit. It's very clever, and because that's when you really think about it. Like this movie is very, very purposeful. As much as I don't think we needed a sequel, very purposeful in its making. It's just so more meticulous than it looks. You know, it looks like it's hapdash and just made up on the run and shit, but it's not. It's not. It's not at all. It's surprisingly well thought out. That's why I think the first Borat was nominated for original screenplay, because it was so like well thought out in its weird approach and unique comedy, you know, striping. It's like it's very weird. It's just so weird that it had to be nominated. It didn't win, obviously, but it, yeah, very interesting.
My question is like, when the hell did he film this? Like, or did he like throw the whole Corona thing in there like later on?
I think he threw the Corona thing in there later. But I'm not
sure.
I agree.
I think
it does feel like they were probably getting close to maybe wrapping up or something. And I don't know. Or maybe they did that first. I don't know. It honestly felt like they added on to it.
I mean, it's our first major Corona movie, right?
It is, technically, yeah.
It is. Our major one, obviously. But yeah, I think he added it, and I think they found a way. And it's like, yeah, it's kind of like, you know, you like something happens and you just change up the script. It happens all the time. My favorite example is that Rick and Morty episode where they go to the Council of Ricks or whatever, the Citadel of Ricks, and they have that whole political struggle. You know, the way they added that thing at the end was because someone brought it up later on. It wasn't meant to be that way, and they just added it in, and it just fits so perfectly to the bad guy Morty of that episode, and they just added it in way after the fact. And it was great. It was perfect. Kind of like that. for me. That's how I think about it. People just come up with it. Life happens. But yeah, you know, comedy is very strange because the best we can say about comedy, as far as like praising it or whatever, is a worse version of what the movie's showing you. Meaning, like, what's your favorite joke? Like, I mean, there's not really a whole lot to say about it, other than like, you know, like, oh, I loved it when, it's kind of hard to review comedy, honestly, mm-hmm. guys. So, with that in mind, well, I'm gonna give you my favorite. Yeah,
comedy is also kind of objective, right? What do you find funny? I could not, you know.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, yeah. Kind of like horror in the same way. What you find scary, other people won't. Yeah, I agree. But yeah, I mean, I don't know what my favorite is, but it clearly involves the daughter. I think anything with that whole with the when Borat sends her to that babysitter.
Oh yeah.
And anything that happens after the babysitter when she's telling her, like, no, women can drive. And like, no, oh, why? And she's just yelling at her, like, why are you driving? I can't touch my Virginia. All this stuff was, that was probably my funniest stretch of the movie when they cut back to her before Borat meets her with her again. Now, I think that was a highlight for me. Because that really goes into what happened in the third act. What about you guys? Anything hit home more?
So not hit home, but I think, honestly, like, she, I think, was outacted Sasha in this movie because holy fuck, she was amazing. Like the persona that she had to, like, you know, play and in the weirdest and most awkward of situations, she fucking nailed it.
Yeah. Also, one of the biggest changes too from the opening, like the way she, like, you know how.
Oh, completely different person, yeah.
Yeah, you think of, you know, there's so many classic romantic comedy examples of this where, like, the girl starts off as frumpy or plainer and then they revitalize her, right? Taming of the Shrew, right? Or My Big Fat Greek Wedding is a good example. There's been some good examples, but overall, like, you know that they're beautiful already. You know that actress already looks pretty. This one did not, and then she did, you know, like, it's a major, they did a really good job there of making her look one way and then just completely changing that later on. Obviously, thank God she didn't get the boobia because that would have demoralized the character more. How about you, Ruff?
Can you imagine getting a boob job for a fucking in a movie? That'd be nuts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, fuck. That would be a new low for cinema, probably.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I gotta. I'm trying to remember the movie. There's a lot of funny parts, but I guess the one that sticks out to me the most is her dance, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just awkward and hilarious at the same time. So.
Yeah. That was kind of cringy, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. It works, I guess, to do that. But I don't really have a lot else on this movie.
I don't think so. Yeah. Me neither.
And then this movie is best discussed as an overall. Like, overall, this is what I feel about the movie. Like, it's no real. I mean, you can, but I can't think of much to go into specifics and to, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a weird and hard movie to kind of review, though, so.
Yeah. So, good job, Ralph. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
all right. So, we're going to take a break then, and we're going to get into our next film review. Which is, what was that, Ralph? What's the next movie review?
On the Rocks.
On the Rocks, that's right. Apple TV Plus on this one, guys. So if you buy an iPhone, then you could see this movie too.
Hi, Dad.
Hey, kiddo. Oh my gosh, do you look beautiful. You live. How's your mom's hip?
Good, thanks.
Good. He thinks you're my girlfriend.
Thrice.
Been busy?
Yeah. Dean's traveling with clients all the time, and I'm just the buzzkill waiting to schedule things. Just, I'm so stuck.
So Dean's going away a lot, huh? On business trips?
Dad.
Raise your hand if that sounds fishy.
He's not like you. He's a good guy, a great dad.
Sure, it's nature. Males are forced to fight, to dominate, and to impregnate all females.
Maybe he's just not interested in me anymore.
Impossible. A woman's at her most beautiful between the ages of 35 and 39.
Great, so I have many months left.
A young mother reconnects with her larger-than-life Playboy father on an adventure through New York and other places. This is written. This is written and directed by Sofia Coppola, starring Bill Murray, Rashida Jones, Marlon Wayans, Jessica Henwick, Jenny Slate, and we'll stop there.
Mm-hmm.
What's it called? So this is a Apple Plus, right? I think Apple Plus movie.
Apple TV Plus, right? That's what they're calling it. Even though it's a movie, they don't have a different section for Apple Movies Plus or something.
Yeah, I guess it's not super confusing, but it's there.
Yeah.
That being said, Luke went first. I think I'll go first on this one. And I'm going to say this movie kind of brings this relationship between this daughter and father of like almost estrangement. It's really weird because like they both want something from each other that they both don't want to give each other. It's like really weird. They're both just in different parts of their relationship. One wants something from him. The father wants something from her daughter that she used to get when she was younger. And the daughter wants something from her father now that she's older, like just more honesty, more like, you know, like honesty and just asking for, you know, answers, really. That's kind of what it is. And just being helpful to her as a father figure, you know. And it's weird, like, this relationship they have, they kind of, like, never get around to it. But it's obviously always there, and you can tell it in their faces that nobody wants to really kind of deal with it. But at the same time, there's this there's this other issue in the movie that they have to deal with is which I'm not spoiling anything crazy, cheating. Right, that husband may be going through, which is the point of the movie. And it's perspective from both sides and things of that nature. And it's just like you get to see how both of these people see it differently and how they would both act upon it as well. And at the same time, it's but because how polar different they are, but because they're just family, they like, you know, obviously go along with it, but it's a interesting dynamic. It's like just overall seeing them, and it's a lot of just them, and you can tell that it's easy to get to where the assumptions get to and stuff like that, and it's an interesting, like, I guess it's like playing into your imagination kind of thing. And I'm still like conflicted on like how I want to feel about this movie, compared to when I watched it. I thought overall, like, I had kind of fun with the movie, with how it was like shot and shown to me. But at the same time, I feel like, what it's talking about and what it wants to portray, it's there to a certain extent. I just felt like, I don't know what I wanted from it. Maybe it wasn't what I was given. But it's an interesting relationship for sure. And I just felt like it was... I don't know if I wanted more or if I wanted a clearer answer. I think we get a pretty clear answer. But at the same time, I just felt like it's just kind of just there. Without spoiling anything, we'll get to spoilers later. Besides that, Luke or Oscar, whoever wants to go next. I'll leave it up to you guys.
Oscar?
Yeah, okay, clearly you've chosen for me. I was about to say Luke, but you'd be...
No, I'll go.
No? Okay, go ahead.
No, I enjoyed the movie. I felt it's Bill Murray being Bill Murray, as he is. And I do feel a lot of conclusions were made in this movie. Like, you know, just because, like, her father was kind of, you know, his, you know, the whole larger-than-life playboy thing, and he was always out and about and type of thing. And did he cheat, or was he, like, in a... I wasn't sure about that, how he was with her mother.
Well, we'll get to that later.
Yeah, but, yeah, I think he kind of, like, fed her these ideas, and then, you know, kind of like, and then she kind of thought, okay, maybe my husband's cheating on me, maybe he is having an affair, all that fun stuff. Yeah, you know. It's like a self-fulfilling, no, like self-fulfilling prophecy, I guess? No.
Maybe. I think I know where you're going with, but I guess I don't know 100% yet. 100%. But yeah. But you enjoyed it.
I enjoyed Bill Murray.
Well, I mean, he is in this movie a lot, so.
He is a national treasure. He should be honored.
I mean, I think he's plenty honored. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no lack of, there's no dearth of honors going for him.
Yeah.
I mean, this movie was essentially, I mean, okay. I know his character name in this movie is Felix.
Felix.
It might as well just be Bill Murray. He looks, it's exactly what you believe and think, and you've read the stories of how Bill Murray acts in real life. This is who he is. Larger than life, 100%. I don't know about the Playboy thing, but, you know, being as big as he is, I'm sure there's a little of that in reality, right? I don't know. I never read a biopic of him or anything. But all these stories you hear about him, I think this is this movie must have been just like a breeze for him to do. And obviously, I'm not saying for real. There's some actual acting involved in this movie, of course. But I enjoyed the movie, you know. And Sofia Coppola movies have this weird effect on me where if I'd seen the movie just today and then sat down to record and review it, I would be less favorable. But her movies always grow in my mind. I saw it last week, and I definitely feel a lot better. And I'm not saying that I hated the movie or I didn't understand. Much like Roth said during his opening, is that I didn't know exactly what to feel.
Yeah.
And that little bit of confusion and stuff, or meandering, or what, or thoughtlessness, or whatever, you know, it kind of washed away. And as always, Sofia Coppola movies solidify my brain as something else, and that she is not trying to necessarily confuse you, but neither is she trying to make like all these great plot points clearer either. She's not. She's never been that way. The movie Somewhere kind of feels very similar to this one. You know, some of her earlier works that made her big, you know, like Lost in Translation, which has very similar feels to this one, not just because it stars Bill Murray and another younger female co-lead, but because that movie has like this life of, like, it questions life a lot more particularly, and that people related to more in that movie. This one's more about their own personal lives, the characters' lives. Is my husband cheating on me? What, I'm not beautiful anymore. I'm getting too old. He is, you know, like trying. I'm not saying he's like one last shot for his daughter. It's not that hokey, but he is trying to stay connected to his daughter while he is also a fucking savant traveling larger than life womanizer, you know, and he's trying to combine the two when they clearly are at friction. Right, butting heads all the time, and every fucking scene almost. It's just little glances only. It's never like brought out. No one's yelling. It's that's why the movie kind of feels effortless, and it feels, and that's why I enjoyed it more. I found myself enjoying it just every minute of it, as I think back on it anyway. And I was enjoying it throughout the movie too. Obviously, I'm not saying like I hated it, but like I said, that feeling of like not knowing what the fuck to think about it washed away. So I come up with I really dug this movie. I mean, she's just so effortless in her filmmaking. I really like her. Well, she makes it look that way. And Sofia Coppola has this, like, this sense of, like, a certain type of humanity, sure. Like, obviously, I can't relate to 90% of her characters. But, like, I feel like she writes for an audience that is willing to sit down with a bunch of characters. And I think this movie is no different than any of her other movies. Even, like, a Bling Ring type, where it's a bunch of young people stealing from rich people, right? And celebrities.
Yeah, that one. Like,
I know. But I really dug that movie too. But it's a different kind of digging, right? Because it's a different age and they're doing different things. But ultimately, it's the same spiel. Like, you are sitting down with these characters. You are breathing in this world. And she really makes you do it if you watch it. And thankfully, her movies are never too long. Thankfully. Yeah, she never overstays her welcome, in my opinion, and I think On the Rocks falls on a very similar trajectory, and I really like it. That's where it came from. But Bill Murray, man, Jesus, National Treasure is putting it lightly. He is so good in this movie. Just being Bill Murray.
He feels very effortless.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that scene with the cops is priceless.
That's the best scene, probably. I mean, the best scene that's out of context.
Yeah, that's out of context, yeah.
You can watch, it's just like, when he got stopped, I'm like, in the way he's acting from the beginning, like, oh, you know, like a speed bump, like, it's like a speed bump. Like, he's not going to go to jail. Nothing's going to happen. You know? And she can't help herself and be in awe of her father sometimes, you know, like in that scene. How the fuck do you do this? How the fuck do you get away with this?
Right.
Only like you and like, you know, not to be too misogynistic, but, you know, great looking women may get away with that kind of thing, you know?
Right. Yeah.
You know, from male cops, you know, like it's just, that's it. Bill Murray and like really good looking women, like supermodel women. That's it. Done. And not even that much. But I don't know what to say without the spoiler stuff. But I like the mystery of the movie. There is this is all super important to the main character. Obviously, it's not like what's the case, who murdered who. It's not about that. But it's about, you know, infidelity, and she makes herself believe it because her father definitely helps her do that a lot. But she does have that thought first. I mean, she tells him, and I think she lets herself believe it and go with down the road. A lot of people have maybe different interpretations as to why she does all this stuff and follows her father's plan along the way. But one interpretation, the first one I had, I still think it's maybe the most dominant, is that it's because she's been feeling like, I don't want to say useless, but she's been feeling very much not herself lately. And by lately, like in a rut kind of way, like months or maybe a year or two of time where like, she's a mother, she's not a housewife necessarily, but she's a mother, she's a wife, she's a worker, and she feels like it's getting worse because she's aging, she's not getting better, you know what I mean? She doesn't feel as great about it or as sexy or as whatever. And I think that she just convinced herself that it has this is like the next step, it has to happen because she's losing it. And I think that's why. But how do you guys feel about that? About the nature of her going along with her dad on this trip?
Well, I mean, from the beginning, like of the movie, you had that like comedy skit with was it Chris Rock? And he's like, "If you love fucking, don't get married."
Right. That's a good scene.
And like, right off the bat, you're just like, "Okay, so this is what we're kind of going into." Okay,
which is also extra funny because Chris Rock, he cheated on his wife.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was a big thing. It was in one of his specials where he talks about it, but it was a news item too and everything. I don't know if she left them. I don't think so because they have kids and stuff too. But but yeah, that happened. It was like a real big deal in his life and celebrity wise. Sorry, you were saying?
No. So I kind of got that vibe. Like, okay, this is going to be like a marriage movie, you know, probably like kind of the downfall of it. Once you know you're married, everything kind of goes downhill, not downhill, but you know, maybe everything like becomes tame.
Yeah,
maybe so. That's what it was, and it's like the fucking, it's like the second Sex and the City movie.
Oh man, those movies were bad.
Yeah,
they were so bad. The second one was way worse than the first one. The first one was bad.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, what do you think, Raph? The nature of, or you think that's right, what Luke and I were saying? Or is it something else?
Of who, I'm sorry?
Of the main girl, what's her name? Fuck, Felix and someone. I forgot her real name. Or her name in the movie, I mean. Laura. What do you think Laura's deal is? Like, what lets her go along this route?
I mean, it's my interpretation of it is just as easy as, I mean, that's what she grew up with. Her father cheated on her mother.
Mm-hmm.
And she grew up with that, so she always has that nagging feeling about guys are, I mean, in a light way to put it, are dogs, you know? Mm-hmm. All they think about is being with another girl if there's an opportunity. And in her mind, I mean, the movie's putting it together for where she is in this kind of rut where she is not creatively there. She's not technically making money or being productive, you know, in that environment for providing
for her household that mm-hmm. she's probably used to doing as a job, as having her career. And then just now is just taking care of her, just taking care of her, her family. And it's like a mundane, every day is kind of the same deal kind of thing. And everyone else seems to have an interesting life except for her. Right. And that's what it feels like. That's literally what we see in the movie. So yeah, it's like, it's easy for her to get into that, that mindset of like, well, I haven't had sex in a while. I haven't felt pretty. I haven't been with my husband longer than 10 minutes because he's always traveling. He's always doing this. He's going to parties and he blows me off at the parties that I get invited with, you know, and stuff like that. And it's easy to kind of, you know, like maybe he is cheating on me. Maybe he is doing this to me. Maybe, you know, because I don't, I'm not getting the attention and he feels like he's still vibrant and energy and going, you know, and why wouldn't he if he gets hit on or if he's consistently working with, you know, good looking women and they get along and they spend more hours than they do at my house and than I do with my own husband, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, it's a very, how do I put this? It's a very normal case, I would say. More normal than you would expect. I mean, I'm married and I see my wife a lot less than I see my coworkers. Like, it's just, that's what it is. I mean, and I just see a lot more. Like, I see my wife a lot less. So, yeah, I mean, I've known her longer for sure. But, I mean, at the same time, it's just like, I don't know. I don't spend as much time with her as I do with my coworkers. So it's just like, I don't know. It's just how it is. And you think, you know, sometimes it's not all there. It's not all rainbows and sunshine and everything, you know? So I get to see why she thinks that or why she would feel that way. And just from past things, so I think the movie does a good job there for sure. And her mindset and like why she's kind of like willing to go for it. And then obviously like kind of you're already in it. So you kind of just like get stuck doing it also. So.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think a lot of people can relate to that. And it happens, you know, like for example, like the only difference.
Don't get married.
Even if it's in my worldview, I'm not married. I am with someone, of course, but not married. Nowhere near close to that kind of thing. So I can't relate 100%, but I can relate in the sense of like the you know the nature of thinking that your other is doing something, right, or hiding something, or betraying you in some way. On both sides of the aisle, from me and then from the other, I've seen it, and the only difference is the reaction. Like it would never even get remotely that far before I get fucking berated about it. But that's me. And other people would, you know, they'll go way farther down the line before someone brings up a question or brings up something to look into, right? This girl has her father to, like, fan the flames. And with that in mind, I think we should get into spoilers so we can talk more about where the path leads them into the movie here. So let's go for spoilers on the Rocks. On the Rocks, Sonny. Starting right now.
Left.
Felix, you're back in town.
Been busy?
Yeah. Got a lot going on.
Do you?
He should be worshiping the ground you walk on. And if he's doing something dishonorable, you need to know.
What if Dean's just busy? I'm in a rut. That's it.
I think we should follow him.
What?
I think you better see him in action.
This is your idea of incognito?
Coming through!
Here's the plaza. This is the place to have an affair. It has the most exits.
Exits on three streets.
Can you just act a little less excited about this? Because this is my life. Oh. It might be falling apart.
I don't know why women get plastic surgery.
Because of men like you.
I prefer the factory original.
Yeah, and every other make and model.
Thank you. I'm going to take that as a compliment. Are there two? Oh, scare me.
Did you guys enjoy the... Not enjoy, but did you guys appreciate, were satisfied by the truth of this mystery of the husband?
I kind of had a feeling.
So this is where I have a problem with the movie. Mm-hmm. I feel like the movie does a great job of making us feel like we're in her perspective most of the time, right? And I think it's like, because it's good, because it is her perspective. And even though we have the other, but I feel like because we're her, in her perspective, we're always seeing it in a different light. Like I even feel like they're acting, like even he's acting shady around stuff. Because we don't know anything else besides what we've seen of him, but we know a lot of her, even though we've only seen of her also of what we've seen, but we know a lot of her mentality. We don't know anything about this guy, and we know what she knows about his mentality, but I feel like the movie is kind of like one-sided in that aspect, where she should think that way and progress that way of what that he could be cheating on her, until like obviously like he's not, and he's like, dude, like I'm just like working my ass off to make sure that, you know, I provide for you guys, mm-hmm. and shit like that. And I'm just like, I felt like it was like the movie did a good job until then to like this is where like in the time watching it, I felt like that. I felt like, okay, it makes sense. Like, cool. Like that's, I didn't have any ill will, but like thinking about it more, I just felt like the movie was like, it felt like it was one-sided on her side all the time. And never giving us the other side of the coin. But if that's what the movie wants to do, then technically the movie did is what it wanted to do. So, like, that's where I have my issue with this movie, where it's, like, it doesn't give us enough on the, like, the for the audience to give the benefit of the doubt to the husband at all throughout the movie until the very end, where we're like, nah, like, there's nothing going on, you know? And it's because, I don't know if it's because of the movie that's what it wanted to do, like I said, and if that's the case, that's cool, but I feel like it's also, like, pulling the wool over our head for that to have us go along this journey.
No, I think I get you.
I think the movie feels, and maybe for me, it kind of felt like more of a little bit of a rope-a-dope, maybe. I don't know if that's the right word or phrase. Where, like, you end up, I mean, you think about along the way that, you know, this is what she needs to find out or whatever, right? But the thing that swings the wreck around, that's maybe what the movie was kind of really about, was about the like her father, and in the end, like the thing with the husband was a red herring, a giant red herring to what the real problem in her personal family relationship is, which is her father. Now, using the husband as a jumping off point to, I mean, the movie forces them together, right? I mean, the father does it and all this stuff, and they don't do it on purpose necessarily. They're not trying to bond more to get to know, to get to the bottom of why he cheated on mom or why he did any, I'm not saying that, but it gets them there regardless. And I think, you know, that argument that they have in, is it in Mexico when they have that, right? It was in Mexico, right?
Yeah, where she travels to catch him kind of in the act.
Right.
That's Mexico, yes.
And then she yells at him.
Yeah.
Right. That was like the one argument in the movie. I mean, technically, the one argument. Because throughout the way, she keeps asking and keeps prodding and keeps like trying to be, you know, like adult about it and just ask and trying to figure it out, but also not pushing too much. And then this is the point where she's like pushed too far and she just can't stop herself. And rightfully so, she should understand her father. And his reaction, I don't remember his lines offhand at all. I mean, I can't quote this movie, really. But I just remember thinking that his reaction to her was a mix of, like, what would you react to if your wife was accusing you of cheating? And an adult way of saying, we have got to move on. And I know he didn't say any of those words that says that, but it felt that way, and it kind of made me feel like the movie was really trying to be about, I mean, it is about these two. These are the main actors, obviously. It's right in front of your face, obviously. I'm not saying that it's stupid to not think that, but I think the movie, like the plot of the movie wasn't about finding out the husband's cheating on her. It's about her problems with her old man. Like, what's her hang-ups on him? Because she had it from the get-go, from the first phone call you know exactly that she has either like annoyance problems with him, or like, you know, instantly she has these reactions to him every time he talks to a girl, a woman in an elevator or on the street, or not a woman, anyone, or his reactions to different things, or every time he mentions her mother, things like that. Like, she has a severe, like, I don't know, maybe childhood trauma is too big, but something like that, you know, hang-ups. And from back then, that she has not gotten over. And this problem, this possible problem of the husband cheating on her, has brought out all to the surface. So, and it kind of, it smashes into pieces or whatever, or gets to a certain place in Mexico. And I think that's when the movie, solidifies into it being about them two the whole time and not at all about the husband. And so that's how I ultimately feel about it. So I never really asked him those questions that Rafa was asking himself along the way about not knowing the husband at all and things like that. I never asked myself that question. I'm not saying that I shouldn't have. I definitely should have. But I never did. It never occurred to me, you know, while watching it or after. So I don't know if that's a good enough explanation. I'm trying to remember specific scenes in my head, and it's not going very well. So that was over a week ago now. But yeah, I don't know. That's what I think.
I do think one of my favorite scenes, though, is like after the whole Mexico thing, and you find out like Fiona, and you're just like, oh, she might be lesbian or whatever, because she had her female friend with her.
Yep.
And you find out that the husband flew back home.
Yeah.
And you're just like, and like the two separate reactions were like, you want to come in for a drink? And the father's like, hell yeah, yeah, why not? You know? Uh-huh. And she's like, no, I need to get home to the airport, you know?
Yeah, one drink. And she's like, no, at the same time. Great. Why wouldn't he? Right? Why wouldn't he? He probably could charm his way into, I mean, I'm not saying he would have. Oh, I mean, for all I know, it's Bill Murray.
I'd let him.
Who wouldn't let him? That's my point. He's the kind of guy, right? What's that story, that famous story about Bill Murray? He'll go up to someone and like do something crazy to him, and like,
they won't
believe you. Right. Exactly. That's great. Yeah, but I love the ending of the movie too, because it's like, it's not bygones or anything, but it's like, you know, I'm not even saying it's like, oh, we're still family, we can't get away from each other. It doesn't feel tired. It feels like, I don't know, like there's a newer version of themselves, or like reach a new level of bonding, you know, even if it was like not good stuff, you know, that whole thing with him waiting for her in the car downstairs, the day after, whatever. It was great. Yeah. I don't know. We liked it. It was very tender for me. That's how I felt. Yeah, I was very satisfied with the movie. Quite satisfied. I didn't like laugh out loud or anything. It's not like a comedy.
Yeah,
it's very amusing.
Nothing explosive like laughter.
Yeah. Other than that one liner where like, yeah, one drink. That was probably the real laugh out loud one.
But it's more of like a, yeah, I wish.
Right.
I wish I was there.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, but the movie's more like amusing than it is funny, and it's interesting. Yeah. I don't know. That's how I feel about it. Anything else you want to talk about in the movie or of the movie? Nothing. Okay, I'm assuming that's nothing.
I don't think I got anything.
You guys love blank space in the show. You just love it.
All the blank space.
All right, then I'm going to call it there. That was On the Rocks. You can find that at Apple TV Plus.
Right.
Not X. It's Plus. We're going to take our last break before returning to review our last movie, which is, what, Ralph? What's the last movie?
Bad Hair.
Bad Hair, that's right.
Welcome to the block, where we gotta...
Excuse me. Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm so sorry I'm late.
You ever had a dream? One you'd be willing to do anything for?
Wow.
Anna, how's work?
Are you still interning for that lady?
Executive assistant. Anna, music people have certain expectations, and my girls need to flow freely. Who does your hair? No one? Me? Aren't you tired of it? All the stares you get. That girl is poison. You
want to be one of my girls?
Yes.
This came all the way from India.
Forget about where it's from. Let's focus on where it's going.
You're not tender-headed, are you?
I'll be fine.
Clients swear this stuff is magic.
In 1989, an ambitious young woman gets a weave in order to succeed in the image-obsessed world of music television. However, her flourishing career may come to a great cost when she realizes that her new hair may have a mind of its own.
That's putting it mildly.
This is Bad Hair on Hulu, written and directed by Justin Simeon, starring Zaria Kelly, Corinne Macia, Al Lorraine, Jay Farrow, Moses Storm, Madeline Byrne, James Van Der Beek.
Oh my god, that was him.
Yeah, that was him, yeah. That was really him.
And I'll leave it at that. And, you know, since Oscar likes to go last, by all means, Oscar, what did you think of this movie?
What is me going wanting to go last? I mean, I'm going first right now, though. I don't understand.
Last as in the last movie.
Oh, I see. Is that why you did it? Weirdo. First of all, I should have known this earlier, but I didn't know research on this movie. But I just found out right now when Raph was mentioning the director, Justin Simeon. I love his first movie. I saw it so many times. He did Dear White People.
Oh, hey. The movie or the show?
The movie and the show.
Wow.
Well, he's not the... I don't know if he's like the showrunner of Dear White People, but I know he definitely wrote and directed some episodes. I don't know if that's his baby as well, but I know he did the original movie.
Right. Okay. So, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Right. That's a very funny, sharp movie. Bad Hair. You know, it's funny because Hulu, when I popped in Hulu to watch this movie, it described it as like a comedy. Huh. And I missed it. I missed anything comedic about the movie. And I don't know if that's me thinking I'm watching it's just kind of like a, not straight up horror, but like a horror capital H movie. I really didn't. I don't know. I mean, maybe because this movie, you know, stars what's her name? The main actress's name, Al Lorraine. Al Lorraine, I think, does too good of a job, I guess. I can't make fun of her. I could never like see the comedy and what was happening to her. I saw it pretty horrifyingly, like, oh, this is fucked up. This is happening to her, and she has to figure this stuff out. And I know there's a lot of metaphor and allegories in the movie, of course. Like, the fact that it's in the 80s says a lot. It's like this proto-MTV going on, you know, in her job. All this stuff, I was getting that, obviously. But none of that I saw as comedy. Not even dark comedy. Maybe some people out there really had a uproarious fucking laugh out loud time with this movie while watching horrific shit. I did not. But that being said, I really liked the movie.
Oh, wow.
I did. I dug the movie. There was like, I guess I dug it as a really well-made B-movie. Like an intentionally made B movie, almost like you're watching one of those VHS shorts from the movie VHS, right? Like its qualities of it are supposed to make it look like it's bad. And even if the nature of the plot is B movie material, like it's ridiculous to think about, like this girl gets a weave and then it's, you know, all this stuff. Like Raph said in the description. But that's a plot for a lot of also super serious horror movies that are well known. It's just, I think they're just the same. You know, the whole purpose of a lot of horror, really, that isn't based on reality, I should say, that isn't like serial killer based or like the long lost something, you know, that's ghost, that is like, you know, dreams, that is, you know, whatever, out of space, the vampires, whatever it is, it's all ridiculous. Just as ridiculous as Bad Hair, you know, when you think of it. So, again, I didn't see those as comedy. Why would I see this one as so? It just never occurred to me. And I really dug it. I think did a really fucking good job. And now it makes sense why I was really enjoying the direction of this movie. I was really enjoying it. I'm like, this is some really good stuff going on here. I'm like, I did not expect it from what I thought was going to be one of those throwaway Hulu movies, because they have a lot of throwaway Hulu movies. They're trying to be like, they're trying to cash in every year around Halloween time as the prime place for horror, right? During Halloween. They did something last year and the year before regarding Halloween movies or horror movies. And I saw a bunch of them, and none of them really met the level of this movie. And I think this one definitely has risen to the top as far as what they've managed to put out. So yeah, I really dug Bad Hair. How about you guys?
Okay. No, I did not. Oh no, my God.
Did not, huh? Yeah.
So at first it's like, there's like two separate plots going on. One, you got like, you know, with this ambitious, you know, woman working at this at this TV station. And, you know, and it feels like she's like sacrificing her identity, you know, to kind of like move up and everything. Mm-hmm. And like that could have been a whole movie on its own. Mm-hmm. But then you had this whole like, quote unquote, horror aspect with the whole hair like taking over. And it's got that like the children's story in it. And that could have been a whole fucking thing on its own, because it seems like the first, what I'm going to say is like 80% of the fucking movie is the whole aspect of like the career and the losing self identity and everything. And at the last 20% of the movie, it's like, oh, we're going to go on a killing spree with some fucking hair.
I think that's
and by the time that shit hit, maybe that I was checked out.
You were checked out, huh?
Checked out. I'm like, this is no, too late, in. Too long. Nope, I'm done.
All right.
No,
that's a visceral reaction. That's a visceral reaction.
Tell you how I really feel.
Fuck, you just fucking did. No, I called it
in the chat, by the way.
Oh, you did? I get it. No, I get why you would go there, why others would go there, 100%. And you're right, Ralph. Now I think about it, maybe that was the comedy bits coming in. But again, yeah. I did not see that. What about you?
I just found it a little funny, like how it was portrayed very much like those older horror movies, like lower budget horror movies, and how people died and how people were reacting. I just felt like, oh, okay, this is.
Yeah, there were some one-liners in there that was kind of, yeah.
And then it's, I thought overall, like, the movie did take a little long in the beginning. I would agree with Luke there, 100%, on focusing on this career thing. But I think it's setting up, like, the need and the wants of this character and why we're going to care at all for her, right? Because you need to set it up. And they did a little snippet of, like, hey, this is what the movie camp is going to be about with, like, they brought it up at that dinner, which was kind of early in the beginning of the movie, like maybe the first like 20 minutes, about this folk tour or folk tales that you shouldn't ignore. And you kind of feel like, okay, why would you even bring that up? That's kind of random. And then you see that it kind of progresses later, and they show you the pictures of hair. So you kind of assume already things. So it's not like it's not being told that something's going to happen. You know, you kind of know. So the movie doesn't do a horrendous job there if you're paying attention. But overall, I lean more towards an Oscar. I'm not like in love with the movie, like, you know, Oscar is with probably wants to get killed by a hair at this point. I don't know. But at the same time, I'm definitely not in the camp of Luke where he's, you know, just checked out. I'm leaning more on the Oscar side, I would say. It's I did like it overall, and how it was like, how do I say this? And how the, and just like how, it all of a sudden becomes this, like, for me, it wasn't this like, oh, I didn't get it. It was more like, it becomes this thing where it's like, hey, supernatural to like, oh, now it's a folklore thing. And because you don't know your history, you never saw it coming. And it's been something that's being told the whole time. It's like, you should know your history and don't ignore these things, and don't let yourself be whitewashed, right? By just because that's what everybody else is getting conformed of. That's, you're being sold on this propaganda, right, from the white person. And don't forget that your roots, that were all these things are like there to help you, and where, you know, the black community is there, like, still, you know, trying to fight the right way. And that's literally what's happening in the job offices also. And everyone's kind of conforming to, like, you know, the whitewashing of the black culture, even though that's literally all it is, black culture, but they're doing the white version of it. And that's what they want, you know? it's literally like a comedy in its own. So I think it works really well once they kind of incorporate both of things. And then some of it is creepy. And then I remember you said in the when we were watching the movie, because me and Luke watched it together, where it felt grainy because, you know, it feels like it's shot like in the 1980s, like when it was supposed to be, or maybe like the 90s or something.
Yeah, yeah.
But when the movie's supposed to take place anyway. So, I mean, I thought it worked out. I overall did like the movie. And I think, like, once everything kind of clicks, everything works for it. I just do feel like it takes a little long. And then, I mean, the only thing I found funny was kind of the end with all the, like, the weird killings and the, a bunch of stuff going on. But I also did miss out on maybe there was more comedic things that I'm not seeing, or I just don't get. But that's what I got from the movie overall.
No. Yeah, I think it marries those themes super well, especially by the end. So well. And I have this take on the movie that's more spoilery, but that I think encapsulates why I really dug this movie. But we'll get to spoilers for that one. But man, I love Elle Lorraine in this movie. She's really good. I think she's really good in the movie. You know, I think the way she handles or fucking mishandles the nature of her problem, the crisis, especially when things become explosive, when the landlord's involved, right? The fucking creepy, rapey landlord. And, you know, and we get that funny aftermath when he's taken away by the hospital and then by the EMT or whatever. And some other tenant in the background says, like, a fucking rapist, and walks away. You're like, fucking, right. Like Jesus, you know?
Yeah.
And that's,
yeah.
So that's
how you really feel.
Right. I love that. I love it. It's and her reactions to it, you know, from feeble / meek / powered down from the nature of her, the beginning of the opening of the movie, where as a kid, right, the whole thing with the hair, right, which I don't understand completely. Obviously, I've never done this before. Don't understand it really, but I understand how it can be a trauma, a childhood trauma of hers. And the movie's not about like surpassing the trauma at all. But he uses that as a way to make her identify as someone that is, like I said, soft-spoken, kind of weak. Everyone sees her as that.
So can I give you a little thing about the beginning of the movie?
For yes.
The hair? Mm. So the hair is literally like, this is what white people do. They dye their hair with these boxes of dyes that you sell at the store.
Right.
But it's not meant for the black person. It's not meant for their hair. It's not meant for their stuff. And it's not going to work on them. Right? And it's literally like what happens later when she does her hair thing later. It's just like a little thing for like her wanting to like whitewash herself there, or like the white way of things, or the white version of things.
So it's even more subtle than I thought. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It makes sense though. Mm-hmm. It makes perfect sense. I mean, I could totally buy that.
Yeah.
But I would never know.
Yeah. Interesting.
I never would think that those things before. I just never would have. Yeah. And also choosing Vanessa Williams to play, let's call her a foil, but the big boss.
Yeah, I did a bad job after James Vanderbeek. We have Ashley Blaine Featherston, Lena Waithe, Yanni Waithe. King.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Judith Scott, Vanessa Williams, I didn't even mention her. Tiffany Black.
She gets a bigger one role of them was, because, what?
One of them's on that HBO show that I always like caught episodes of it. Which one was that?
That's not vague at all.
I know, right?
It really isn't. Sure, for the subtle release. I don't know how much time I should give you on this one. Just when you think about it, say it. I love the casting of Vanessa Williams as being that because, you know, Vanessa Williams has seen a lot as like not that black, you know, and the way they use her in this movie. In past, I mean, I'm talking about in her celebrityness of Vanessa Williams, right? Like the way they've used her in the past and whatever, or the way in the 90s, right? She's been acting for a long time. I love that they put her in the seat of power for this radio, TV station or whatever, the programming that, and she's changing it all up. And it's like, I don't know. I get whiffs of like certain aspects of like what corrupts cultures within Zora. And I guess I can't put my finger on it exactly, but I know I got a lot of that lot of those signals from her, and she's kind of like conformed to this, not white necessarily, but capitalistic point of view of like me first, you never, you know, kind of thing. And it's very it's sad in its nature, but I never feel bad for her. But like it's fucked up. It's what it is. Capital F on that one. And it's it really helps make the third act, as ridiculous as it gets, feel more powerful for me when I watched it. But would you guys like to go into spoilers right now? Or Luke, did you think of that thing you were saying?
Which show?
Yeah.
No.
are you talking about Lena Waithe? Or Waithe? Maybe. She's probably like the funnier one. The one that's like...
Yeah, it's definitely the funnier one.
Yeah, she's in The Shy.
She looks the most 80s, by the way. She's in
Westworld.
She looks the most 80s.
She's in Westworld. She's in The Shy. She does a lot of writing, though.
Yes. Yes. She's mainly a writer. And I did see her in Westworld Season 3. She plays one of the...
Yeah, she's in
Criminals.
She's also in Masters of None.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Master of None?
Master of None, yeah, my apologies.
With that Aziz, right? I'm sorry?
And she's
Aziz,
in
I'm sorry.
Ready Player One.
Huh? Oh, yeah. That's right. I remember that now. It's been a while. Yeah, she's a bunch of things. Yeah, I would say after Vanessa Williams, she's the most recognizable actress.
I would say so, too.
Yeah for me. I mean...
Me too. I haven't seen. I was looking at their filmography also, just so I couldn't see.
Mm-hmm. Anything else for you guys before spoilers? Sorry, I was in the middle of that. But anything else? I know Luke probably doesn't recommend.
I mean, I kind of spoiled it when I.
Yeah, I didn't know you didn't. I mean, you did a little, but it's okay.
You could jump into spoilers though.
Yeah, let's get into it then.
All
right. Spoilers for Bad Hair starting right now.
Magic.
Wow, how's it feel?
People look at you and they see somebody else, and somehow you become more of yourself.
I can't fault you for doing whatever it takes to get where they keep trying to keep us from getting. In a perfect world, a woman would be able to wear her hair the way she wants to.
The moss-haired girl. She see trees covered in black moss and made herself a wig.
Maybe the hair in the tree was enchanted.
It's fun to think about.
Something bad has happened.
Oh, I'm aware.
What?
Look, I cannot die today, okay? I've been in church for like 15 years.
Hey, girl.
All right, so,
Oh, Insecure.
Did you do that on purpose? Did you do that on purpose?
No,
you did that on purpose.
Just popped up.
Look, you've cultivated yourself a person that would do this. This is your fault.
Really,
you like I don't believe you that you say that it's not on purpose. Like that's how bad you did it.
Yeah, but who's an insecure?
Lena Waithe, I guess. Is that what you're trying to talk about? Or who isn't? Who's insecure? I forgot who's.
I'll look.
I know Issa Rae is in it, but she's not.
Issa Rae, that's her.
Okay. What about Issa Rae?
I recognize her from Insecure, and I really like that show.
Oh, okay. Because I'm gonna say Issa Rae.
I've always seen like bits and pieces of every like. Like I haven't seen the whole show through, but I've seen like episodes.
Hmm.
It's always good.
Okay.
Very risque from certain points.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot that the father plays played by Blair Underwood, and that's another actor I know a lot of. I've seen him in a lot of shit throughout the years. Oh my god. Anyway, what I really dig about this movie is that it is. I mean, it's hard to make an iconic movie today, but it's a movie. That is just the same as Halloween and the Friday the 13th. Maybe not Friday. Yeah, no, Friday. Yeah, that counts. Friday the 13th. You know, camp. What's that? Sleepaway Camp. It's like one of those things where like in those movies, there's a structure to the horror. And this one follows the same structure, but it's made for black people. And I think it works just the same. Where, like, you don't break these things and you don't get into this kind of trouble. And if you do, then this happens to you. It's the same nature of,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, they have their own things. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. 100%. They don't even need the folk tale, the whole thing about the whole the tree thing, the willow, the swamp thing. They don't need it.
They don't need it. But at the same time, it adds something to it also. To explain the supernaturalness of it.
Right. Just like Laurie Strode was the pure, innocent virgin in Halloween, and that's why she survived. It's the same reason why, this girl goes through... It feels just like that.
Yeah,
it's just the first of its kind. Or one of the first, you know. It does feel like an answer to a Get Out type. Because Get Out does a subversion of that. But doesn't actually make it like... You know, it does a huge... It's an amazing movie, obviously. But it doesn't do exactly what this movie's doing. But this movie feels like the next step of that kind of horror. And that's why I really dug it. It just popped in my head halfway through the movie of how they're meshing all these themes going on and with the horror aspect. And it just made more sense that way. And it makes even more sense now to find out that the director is fucking the guy who did Dear White People, which does a similar thing, meshing like Ivy League setting, which is usually made for white people, right? With a black voice, you know, like as combining those unseen things that obviously exist in a really funny way. This one's doing similar things, but in a horrific way. And I just want to say, has anyone read Junji Ito's mangas before? I mentioned it to you guys before.
Who's?
He did the book Uzumaki and Tomei.
Naruto?
Nope. That's the name of the book. Uzumaki means spiral.
No, I haven't read it, but I know who you're talking about.
In Spiral, Uzumaki, which I read the whole thing, and Tomei, which I've almost read the whole thing. It's horror. It's horror manga, by the way. Hardcore horror manga. There's some crazy shit in those books. Now, with that in mind, I could never really visualize how the hair horror that he does in those books would be in a movie, but this movie does it perfectly. I just want to say, I really love the effects of what the hair do. Obviously, like some of the outlandish things definitely is more on the CG route or whatever. But most of it looks very practical and like well done. Like they reverse shot it and did it right, you know? Like they really did a good job of the hair horror, or the, you know, from pleasing herself to sucking the liquids off something on the plate to
the ketchup, I think.
Yeah, the ketchup, right?
Yeah, I wasn't sure. Yeah,
like all that stuff was really I liked it. I don't know if you guys dug it, the effects of it, but it felt like that.
It was weird, especially the whole vagina thing.
It was extremely weird. Yeah,
that happened.
It worked out.
It happened. And the physics of what the hair could do, how it can strangle you, how it can climb, or like, it felt like a combination of that Mortal Kombat character, Sindel or something, whatever her name was, and like, and the Uzumaki manga books. It felt like you could never, like, it's just one of those things where like in print, it looked cool in graphic novel and form, right? It was cool, but it was just hard to visualize in a movie, like without looking bad. And this movie, I thought, made it look really good. So I just want to... Props for that. But what do you guys want to talk about in the spoilers? What was the exact moment, Luke, that drove you out?
Of the movie?
Yeah.
It was just like the time of like you had... There was so much like about this whole like channel and they're trying to like relaunch it and revamp it. And then you just get these little bits of like the whole hair thing. And it was just... It was just there. It didn't like, you know, there was like a small segment about the hair and then it went back to like the whole her life thing and trying to go back to the channel. Some fucking boring meeting, some type of, you know, shit like that. And yeah. Like there was like a scene where like the VP of like programming comes in and she has like the natural hair. And she's kind of like being dismissed because she doesn't have the weave with the silky like nice like hair and whatever, and it's just like okay,
like okay,
it's like yeah, I get it. Is this a horror or is this like a play on like society? Like split this into two fucking movies or fucking mesh them better.
All right. See, when that shit was happening, I thought it was just mashing so well that I was like, it has to go down. Like, this is like a power of, you know, of similar other people, like the other people with the weaves of power, right, so to speak. Like, Jesus Christ, I know now I'll never get one wet. I got it. I'll never do that. Got it. Well, I just, the one lesson I got from this movie, really, that applies to life. I mean,
that's also a funny thing, because, like, that's true. Like,
yeah,
don't get your hair wet. Like, dude, and it's a lot of the things that they do, if, like, if you just don't know, like, just black culture a little bit, it's missed upon you 100%. But if you know, it's kind of like little things. You're like, oh, okay, look at that. I see what you're doing. Okay. You know, it's like little things in the movie, which, yeah. I mean, I caught. So it's fine.
No, yeah. And also puts in perspective something I saw once in my life in high school. I saw these two black girls fight. Like, and they fight. They were fighting. They were really fighting. And one of them pulls the weave off the other. And I remember that was really funny at the time in the hallways. It was one of those things, okay? I went to a public high school in Chicago.
We all did.
Yeah, we all did. I'm just
saying. Fucking walk down the halls.
You listeners see that know, not you guys. Listeners. Fucking, I know you guys know. We all went to the same high school. Anyway, and I saw it happening in this movie, really, like, oh my God, they have to do all that to put it in? And oh, yeah. It got yanked out like that? Like, holy shit. That must have.
Yeah, that one scene that when it was getting, like, put in.
Yeah.
That shit, like, I was like, ooh.
Yeah, man.
I felt really uncomfortable.
It's surgery. It's hair surgery.
It is hair surgery, 100%. And it's crazy how, like, I mean, it's kind of accurate to a certain extent. Like, it is that expensive, and it is that painful, especially the first time. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's shitty.
Yeah, I really dug it, man. And, I mean, everything I said about the nature of the movie and the themes, I mean, I said all that earlier, but... I think the movie really hits home all the way. The only thing I didn't know, obviously, was going in, is like how she would get out of it, and if they were to do it, they were going to do it in a believable, good way, and the whole, you know, adding water to the whole thing made perfect sense to me. And she used the opportunity to cut it off. And there is a question, maybe more of a subjective question for you guys: did she look better with the weave or without? In your opinion.
I want to say with the weave, because I think they intentionally made her kind of, it felt very effortless before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she was kind of like put her hair, like, kind of, oh, sorry, kind of like back and like up or whatever.
Yeah, I just felt like she didn't try with her hair that she had normally. She felt like she was, like, limited. And I'm pretty sure that's maybe how it was, right? Maybe she was very limited. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I do feel like, with the weave, I felt like the movie obviously does a better job of, like, making her glow and, like, making her feel like she's more confident or exuding it, you know? So I would agree with Luke. It does look a little bit better with the weave, but I mean, I thought she looked fine or just good, as with her regular hair.
All right. Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. 100%. I mean, not only did she aesthetically look better, in my opinion, but yeah. Yeah, those reasons go along with that whole childhood drama thing in the opening of the movie. So, yep, goes along with it. And also just her overall nature of everything. I think, I don't know, man. I just really dug what this movie was going for. And I liked how it never, I don't say edited itself. How do I put this? It didn't back down from its convictions, so to speak. I really like it. And some of those things became a B-movie. And part of that goes along, again, with the 80s stuff and the way it's shot, the way it's made to look like it's from there. All that stuff.
Oh, yeah. That was actually my thing. I was like, why is this shit so fucking grainy?
Yeah.
All movies were grainy back then.
Right. Yeah.
Well, not all of them.
Like,
but,
I'm pretty sure it's made to be shot.
Yeah. Yikes. Yikes back then. Yikes.
Yeah.
Yeah, really dug it. So I think that's all I got on the movie, honestly.
Yeah. So before we wrap up everything, I want to say something. I'm going to give myself a quick little pat on the back here. Every movie that we reviewed today all came out on the same day.
Really? Yep. They were released on the same day?
Yep, 23rd of October.
Wow. That's pretty good.
hold for applause.
There's no applause. I'm not going to put an applause track. Maybe I should. But you know what? I will. Done. Okay. No, that's awesome. That's kind of rare, actually. That's really, I don't think we've ever done that. Even by
accident. I don't think we've ever done that, yeah.
Maybe two, but never three. Also because we're usually doing a marathon. But three from different platforms also, like they're competing. It's great. All right. So that's it for Bad Hair, and that is it for our show that you have been listening to Another Movie Podcast. Before we actually end the show, though, we have something to discuss, and that is our next marathon. And I know you guys, I don't know, have you guys been thinking about it?
Not one fucking bit.
Great. Huh?
No, actually, I was going to go back and I actually had this idea of like movies that I like truly fucking like loved. Like maybe like when they first came out, like things like I saw like back in grammar school, maybe high school, you know, before podcasting, before critiquing, before, you know, actually thinking about movies and like rewatching some of them.
Hmm. For some reason, when you first said like movies that I like, I thought you were gonna stop there. I'm like, everyone can pick that.
No, like,
yeah, I get it.
One of my favorite movies back in the day was like Green Street Hooligans, but I haven't seen it in God knows how fucking long. And I want to see, like, would that movie hold up today?
Soccer movie, right?
Stalker.
Soccer.
Soccer, yes. Football.
I know. That's why I said soccer. Yeah, okay. I get what you're putting out. I get completely. I thought of that one, too, before. But I thought, yeah, that's a good one.
I hated Children of Men. How does that hold up?
I'll tell you which one wins right now, man. Ralph, have you thought of it?
Luke put more effort into it than I did. To be really honest. I mean, the honest reason bar. Is like I like mine. No, it's not that. I just can't overthink things. I have to be able to just like, give me the last day of the second to last day of.
Fucking kidding me?
No, I'm not fucking kidding you. Because like sometimes that shit like just works better for me. I don't know.
I guess your essays were done the day before.
Maybe 2 days before at best. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I know exactly what the marathon's going to be, but how it's going to look like, we're going to know next time. Sure. But we're not going to start the next marathon next time yet. We're going to know what they are for next time. Here's how it's going to be structured, though. And I told this to either both of you or one of you. I don't remember who.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I don't know if it was just Roth or maybe both of you guys in chat. I have no idea. And my thought about this is that we're going to have a five apiece titles marathon where we each do our own marathon. So when Luke picks the movies, he's picking his marathon and going along that way. So we're having like three simultaneously going every other week.
Wow.
And I think it'll be a great way to really show us, or show the audience, right, to our listeners, what we feel like we want to cover at the same time. That way we're not like cherry. I mean, the next one after that, we can all just communally decide on one. No big deal. And we go back to normal. But I think this could be a fun experiment. Maybe it'll work better than I think it will. Or maybe it'll fail dramatically and we'll never do it again. But we're going to try it. And I think if Luke, you choose that one, if you decide on that one for sure, great. We'll go for that. And then whatever Roth decides, probably the day before, the when I ask him.
I'll have the movies all ready. Just saying, it's not like it will be like.
Pardon me. I already have a few. I have a short list myself, but you know, I'm anal about this, so I'll really, really think about it. Yeah.
Which means it'll be like a completely different list by the time we start.
Probably. No, but the thing is that the one thing I do want to have, I want to have all, 15 titles completely down by the end of the next show so we can like say them. Right. I want to have them down. I want to have them ready. I want to have them ready for the website too. So I want to have all that shit down. And there's no changes, no take backs as far as.
But take backs, these are the best.
I know they are, but how old are you? You should put Boondock Saints on that list, by the way.
I don't know.
Or not. I don't care. Just saying.
I love Boondock Saints, but now I think I watched.
That's the whole point. Is that the point of your fucking marathon?
I was trying to say that I watched another movie even more. Jesus, you don't even listen.
So you guys, you want us just to pick movies that impacted us, right?
Wait, what?
What's the caveat on this for marathon?
No, it's just whatever you want, but it's just you. I mean, we still gonna all watch it, whatever you pick, but none of us are picking from like from your marathon idea. You're picking all five movies, all your five, right?
I already got them.
Okay, great. That's for the next show. Anyway, that's my idea. So we're gonna go with it. We don't know what it's gonna look like yet, but we're gonna find out next time, which we record every other weekend. So remember, check out our website, otherpodcast.com, if you want to find me personally on the websiters, on the internets. It is on Twitter, on Armin Filmmaker. That's Filmmaker with A-R-M-E-N. Luke?
At Slothmaster Luke.
Rough.
At Don Rafael, underscore between the Rafael.
All right. And so, next time, since there's no marathon, I picked just three regular movies. And I have no idea what any of them are about. Which is great. I love it. So, next time, I'm picking the movies, and it's going to be a movie that's available on VOD. Made by a really stellar director that no one knows about. It's called She Dies Tomorrow. The movie's called She Dies Tomorrow, which I already bought on iTunes, so you guys can watch it there, guys.
You Die Tomorrow.
And the next two movies are Netflix movies. One of them is brand new, I think came out this week. It's called Rebecca, which looks like a thriller of some sort. Again, I know nothing. I just saw the director. I'm like, I know that person. I know that actor. Great. Let's go with that. And last but not least, this is from a director we do all know, Charlie Kaufman's latest movie, which came out a few months ago now, but I really wanted to catch up with it. I'm using this show as an excuse to watch it. It's called I'm Thinking of Ending Things.
Oh, I was going to watch that.
Great. Now
but I thought it came out a little too far back. So.
For a movie review?
Yeah.
No, it's all recent releases, all this year. There's no theaters, man. It's fine. You could have just asked. I would have said yes. Mm. All right. Those are the three movies. So, until then, I am Oscar.
And Luke.
Yes, they are.
Later.
There's Ralph for you.
In case I don't see you. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.